Well, we'll just start with a little story. A boy was trying to sell an old mower, and a pastor saw the boy, and he thought, you know, I'll take a look at that mower. I might just buy that little mower. And so he goes over, and he's looking at the mower, and he tells the boy, he says, well, I need to start it to make sure this thing runs. And so he starts pulling the cord, trying to start that mower, and pulls it several times. And finally, the boy says, sir, you're going to have to kick that mower and cuss at it a little bit to get it to start. Well, the pastor, he said, son, I hadn't cussed in many, many years. I'm not going to do that. He said, sir, if you just keep pulling that cord, it'll come back to you. Well, I just want you to know, we need to learn how to deal with anger the right way. You know, Sunday talked about loving people, loving each other, loving others. And I just realized how much the enemy of our soul uses anger to disrupt that. How much he uses anger to bring trouble into our lives. And I think in the world that we live in today, where there's so much anger, that it just becomes acceptable and common, and maybe even sometimes something that people embrace and act like is a good thing. And I just want you to know, we need to deal with anger the way the Scripture says to. So tonight, if you believe the Word of God, well, I got some Scripture for you. And I just encourage you tonight, hear what it says, but don't just be a hearer, amen? But the Bible says to be a doer, not a hearer only. Because what does it say about the person that hears it but doesn't do it? He deceives himself. You know, it's bad to be deceived by somebody else. It's even worse to be deceived by your own self. You are kidding yourself if you hear the Word of God and yet you don't do it. So here we go. I want to give you this. John 8:31-32, if you abide in my word, he says, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And there are so many people that are in bondage to anger. And I just want to tell you, living angry is no fun. It just will make you miserable to live angry. If you enjoy it, I mean, if you like being angry, you really need to get free. I'm just telling you. Jesus told the disciples when they wanted to call down fire on some people, he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. See, that's not the Holy Spirit. That old angry spirit wanting to call down fire on people, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's another spirit. Amen. And we don't want that spirit. But there's so much anger in our world. I'm telling you, it is a driving force for evil. And Satan uses it to divide people, to stir up hate, and to destroy lives. John 10:10, Jesus says that Jesus came to give us life and give us more abundant life, a life that's overflowing, the very best kind of life. I want that, don't you? Amen. We want that kind of abundant life. But he says, but the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you need to know that we have an enemy who's always working against us. You see, he wants to steal the blessings that God has for us. He wants to kill. He wants to keep us from being able to do the things that God wants us to do and enjoy all he has for us. He wants to destroy the plan, the purpose of God in your life, what God wants to accomplish through you. He's always working against us. And one of the ways that he does that is anger. So we need to be aware of his tactics, his devices. We need to realize that he's always working against us. And this is a way that so often he gets in and brings destruction, brings trouble, brings all kinds of problems. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now, you know, the New King James here, it says, "Be sober." I don't think he's saying, "Hey, don't be drunk." I mean, he might be saying that, but it's more than that. I think the NIV gives this pretty clearly here, though. It says, "Be self-controlled and alert." See, we have an adversary, the devil, who goes about like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. How's he going to devour somebody? A lot of the time, it's because anger opens the door for him to bring his trouble into our lives. Be self-controlled and alert. So I want to encourage you tonight, be self-controlled and alert. A lot of believers get robbed because they're not ready. We're in a spiritual battle. You need to always remember that. And the enemy of our soul is always looking for a way to take advantage of us. But the truth of God's word will set us free, and it'll bring victory in our life if we live it out. So I encourage you to hear the word and put it in practice in your life. The word of God tells us, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. And I'm going to tell you, it seems like I talk about this passage a lot, but I really believe that this speaks to our generation, and we need to hear this. See, not just the world out there, we the church, the people of God, we need to hear this. "Let no corrupt communication or no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good." Sorry, I got a couple of different translations mixed up in my head here. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Get rid of." Get rid of, bitterness. Get rid of wrath. Get rid of it. Get rid of anger. What are you supposed to do with it? What does the word of God say to do with it? I'm not going to let this go until somebody answers me. What are you supposed to do with anger? Get rid of it. What do you do with anger? Get rid of it. Oh, wait a minute now. That's what the Bible says. Get rid of it. Get rid of that malice. Amen. See, what's malice? Oh, just that, you know, that stewing anger. It's just there, that ill feeling towards somebody or towards other people. Malice. Oh, I'm just telling you, what's the Bible say? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It grieves the Holy Spirit, he says, so you got to get rid of it. Get rid of it. And get rid of evil speaking. And then he tells us to forgive. I'm just going to mention to you now, unforgiveness constantly fuels anger. There's so much anger in our culture, and it's just epidemic, and get this, it's contagious. You know, when people around you are angry and they're speaking evil, it can get on you. In fact, you know, the culture that we live in now, where we're so connected all the time, you know, and people are on social media all the time and all this, and you read these things and you hear these things, and it's easy to just kind of go along with the world and become an angry person. And listen, there is a quote-unquote spiritual version of this. It's not spiritual at all. There's a religious version of this where we as Christians, we're supposed to be angry at the world. Amen, brother. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be like Jesus. Amen. And he tells us to forgive. When people, let's Proverbs 22:24. "Make no friendship with an angry man, with a furious man, do not go. Now, if you're married to an angry man or an angry woman, all right, I understand that you're going to be with them. You're going to be around them. If you work, you got a coworker that's an angry person, you may not be able to help being around that angry person. But I'll tell you, if we heed the wisdom of Proverbs, we shouldn't by our own choice choose to make friends with and hang out with an angry person. It'll bring trouble on you. Not only because it's contagious, but I was riding with somebody one day, and somebody was right on their tail. They're tailgating them, like, you know, 3-4 feet off of, maybe 6. And this guy I'm riding with, he just slams his brakes. I mean, we're on the freeway, and he's like, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I could not believe the guy managed to stop. Somehow, by the grace of God, the guy behind us managed to stop. And I was so thankful, because that was not the way that I wanted to spend half my day, waiting on the police and all that. And I'm just telling you, you never know what's going to happen when somebody loses control of their anger. A lot of things that have changed in my 65 years. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have school shootings. Crazy. We were allowed to carry pocket knives to school. Look at mine. We'd show each other pocket knives. Look. In kindergarten, okay. But here's the thing. When I was a child and a teenager, we never even heard of road rage. It wasn't a thing. Now, I'm not saying it never, ever happened, but I can honestly say I never, ever heard of it happening. And Carmen told me she had never heard of it happen either when she was a child or a teenager. And now, oh my goodness, it's in the paper all the time. There's stuff happened. People get shot, killed, and run off the road. It's crazy. Why? There's so much anger. Anybody ever get angry when they drive? You don't have to raise your hand, but hey, there's a bunch of us. We've been there, right? And oh, how the enemy can use it as an opportunity to bring destruction in your life and to keep you from blessings. So we got to deal with anger scripturally. One of the quickest, most common ways that we give away our victories by not handling anger properly. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. So this is just a few verses before the passage we read. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. See, when we don't handle anger right, we lose our temper. It gives the devil an opportunity to get in and to wreak havoc in our life. We need to understand that. See, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath or give place to the devil. You see, the devil will get in your home. He'll get in your relationships. He'll get in even in church when people get angry. The devil gets in. And anger, here's what it brings. It brings the opportunity to sin. Be angry and sin not. You ever get angry? Well, yeah, it's an emotion. And we're going to deal with that. You see, that's what I'm saying. We got to deal with anger in a scriptural way. And here's the first thing you need to know about dealing with anger in a scriptural way. Don't sin. Be angry and do not sin. When you do get angry, see, some people think when it says be angry, it means we're supposed to be angry. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when you get angry, you don't sin. Then he goes on, he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, it's not supposed to linger. It's not supposed to just keep stewing. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with it in the right way. You don't go to bed mad. How miserable is that, going to bed mad? But But that's what goes on with a lot of people. They got anger and they just let it build and grow and build and grow until it just finally comes busting out on somebody and the devil gets his way. And at the very least, your witness gets ruined. Relationships destroyed. Keeps us from having peace. You got to deal with it right. If you don't, you're giving the enemy an opportunity. We tell children, you know, stranger danger, right? How about anger danger? It's a thing. When you get angry, there's an opportunity for you to sin. It's going to be there. Anger danger. Remind yourself, anger danger. When I get mad, there's anger danger. Tell your spouse. When you see your spouse getting mad, tell them anger danger. Then you give them another reason to be mad. Yeah, see how that works, right? That'll be fun. Some of you be cussing me. That's sin. Don't be angry and sin not. But so often when we get angry, we say things we shouldn't say. We hurt people. You know, the scripture mentioned, don't let corrupt communication or anything evil come out of your mouth. We got to be careful. When you get angry, we need to be careful that we don't say things that are going to damage relationships. I mean, in just a moment, you can say something that's going to bring harm or damage to a relationship that can take years to undo. And never forgotten. I won't, but I could tell you things that were said to me 30, 40 years ago. And I forgave it 30 or 40 years ago. But I can still recant the conversation verbatim in my mind. Words are powerful. And we can tell little kids, sticks and stones break your bones, but words will never hurt you. And we all know it's a big fat lie. In fact, you can hit somebody with a stick and they're going to get over it and they're going to heal. But sometimes those wounds from words that are said, and you see how the enemy uses anger to do harm in our lives and in our relationships. We all know that words have power. I mean, the Bible says there's power of life and death in our words. But when we get angry, one of the worst things we can do is allow ourselves to speak angry words. They can destroy a marriage, destroy a relationship between a child and a parent. They can get you fired real quick. And sometimes when we're angry, we do things that we know we shouldn't do. Anybody ever done something you know you shouldn't have done that, but you did because you were angry? Yeah, it happens a lot. When it's over, we're like, oh, I wish I hadn't have done. This is weird, but it's almost like we get drunk with anger. I mean, normally I wouldn't have done that, but I was just mad. See how powerful this is when we don't control it, when we don't deal with it scripturally, and the enemy gets an advantage of us. Now, if you've blown it, well, join the club. I'm glad that God is merciful and He gives us another chance. Amen. He loves us. He forgives us. But I'm also going to tell you the truth. Sometimes there are consequences for uncontrolled anger. And that's part of the key, is we got to learn to control it. We can. Some people just kind of accept that they have a bad temper and that's just the way it is. We need to put that with other sins. We're just going to say, well, you know, my family, this is this way. We sin this way. Let me tell you, here's what the real issue is. We're all born in Adam's race. We all deal with sin. And when it comes to anger, you got to sin not. We can't make an excuse. We can't say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, you know, I got this heritage and this heritage. And listen, all of us are Adam's descendants. We all deal with sin. And this is one of them that we have to deal with our anger in the right way. I mean, you know, people say, well, sometimes, you know, this person, you know, they just push my buttons. You got buttons that when pushed cause you to sin. Okay. How about we reprogram those buttons so they do something different? Amen. Somebody punched your button. And what are you going to do? I'm going to pray for them. Listen, I'm talking about this is real, right? I mean, this is where we live. See, I'm messing with you because this is right where we live. Jesus, I said it Sunday. Jesus said when somebody mistreats you, what are you supposed to do? Pray for them. If they mistreat you, he says, pray for them. This is your button now. Somebody did me wrong. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray for them. Be angry and sin not. See, being angry doesn't make it okay to sin. And therein lies the problem, is that a lot of the time, instead of acknowledging that something's sin, what we do is we rationalize and we justify, and this is the way anger gets used all the time. Because I'm angry, I'm justified. They did this, so I'm angry, and I'm going to do this. Anybody ever heard two wrongs don't make a right? Did you know that we don't get a free pass on our sins because somebody else did? But you see, this is what happens. We get angry and we sin. Be angry and sin not. So we can't allow ourselves to have this weird justification. Lord, I'm not saying right. I'm not acting right. My attitude is bad. But you know what, God? I'm angry. Okay. We still got to get to the place where we see this the way it really is. I'm just going to tell you, when we see things in our society that are unfair or unjust, or we experience things in our own life or our loved ones do, you know, that are hurtful and wrong. Yes, being angry is a natural emotion, but we got to deal with it in the right way. In Exodus chapter 2, it tells us that Moses saw one of his Hebrew brethren being beaten by an Egyptian, and so he killed the Egyptian. Hit him in the sand. It cost Moses 40 years out in the desert taking care of sheep. It cost him. Did God forgive him? Yes. It cost him. And it'll cost you. You see, that was seeing an injustice, and he got mad and he lost it. Here's another trigger for anger. Sometimes it's not some big thing that happened all at once like that, but it's frustration that builds and grows and builds and grows. And I'm going to confess tonight, this one is a hard thing for me because usually I can deal with just about anything, you know, that just comes all at once. But little things that just keep bugging me and bugging me and bugging me, sometimes the frustration builds and just kind of turns into anger. And this also was something that Moses dealt with. In Numbers chapter 20, it tells us about how the Israelites, while they were in the wilderness, they didn't have any water and they complained to Moses. And, you know, they complained and they complained and complained to Moses as their leader. And I really believe that this frustration of having to deal with this over and over and over again for Moses, it just turned into anger. The Lord told Moses to speak to the rock and water would flow out. But in his frustration and anger, he hits the rock with his staff twice. He disobeyed God. Did God forgive him? Yes. Moses and Elijah were the two that appeared to the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because he disobeyed God. You see, I'm just trying to convince you, anger will cost you. It will cause problems in your life. It opens the door. See, he says, be angry, sin not, don't give the devil a foothold. That's real. That's real. This is the word of God. Don't allow the enemy in. Deal with your anger right. Another trigger point for anger is hurt. I mean, when you or a loved one is hurt, it's a really natural response to jump into defense mode or maybe even offense mode, right? And here's the thing, we all get hurt. We all have misunderstandings and miscommunications and differences of opinion, and some people are just stinking mean. But we can't allow ourselves to take that as an opportunity to sin. Every time we get mad, every time we get angry, it's an opportunity. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. I'll read it one more time. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. In the NIV, it says it very simply. In your anger, do not sin. But yet, that's how so many Christians justify their sin. Here's an example of Jesus getting angry. Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there with a withered hand. So they watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then he said to them, Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. In this instance, Jesus looked at them in anger, and then he healed a man. He didn't curse them. He didn't wave his hand over them and put some plague on them. He didn't call down fire on them. He looked at them in anger and he healed the man. Deal with anger right. You see, what happens to so many of us is we respond to anger with sin. Jesus did what the Father told him to do. He didn't allow them to distract him from what he was supposed to do in this situation. He was going to heal this man, and he healed the man. How about the next time you get angry, instead of doing something wrong, you look for something you can do good instead? That's what Jesus did when he was angry. What did he do? He healed the man. Get free. Get free. That old anger is icky. You don't want that. You don't want that in your life. You want to be free from that. You don't want the results in your life from the sin of allowing anger to control you and get you to say things and do things that are not God. Jesus just did what the Father wanted him to do. Mark 11, 15 through 17. Now this story or version of it is in all four Gospels. But it says, so they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. and he would not allow anyone to carry wares, their stuff they wanted to sell, through the temple. Then he taught them, saying, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" Now, a lot of believers use this story as an excuse to be angry and to lose their temper and let somebody have it. First of all, I want to tell you, in all four Gospels, it never says that Jesus was angry. It does say that he wouldn't let them bring their wares in there, and it does say that he taught them. "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves.'" Are you angry when you deal with your children? You shouldn't be. But even if Jesus was angry, he didn't fly off the handle and lose his temper and let these guys have it. "I'm going to show you." That's not what happened here. I can assure you that Jesus was absolutely controlled. And what he did was right and just. He didn't allow his anger to take over. That didn't happen. But so many Christians use this one story as an excuse for their sin. Be angry and sin not. What do we read in Ephesians? Put it away. Put it away. Put it away. Get rid of it. Amen. There's times when we should be angry at the injustice, the hypocrisy in our world. Times when we need to say something. Times when we need to take action. But it needs to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. The anger of our flesh won't bring about anything good. James 1:20, "The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." See, we can't right the wrongs in our world with the wrath of man. It just won't work. I would like to think that all of my anger is godly anger, but I know that's not the case. I think it's really the exception when our anger is really God's anger. Most of the time, it's just the wrath of man. Here's an acid test for you. His anger is always controlled and measured and intentional and right. And it produces righteousness. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. See, his anger brings about good. But so often the wrath of man, it stirs up strife. It causes hurts unnecessarily. And get this one, our flesh likes it. The spirit and the flesh are contrary with one another. If you're enjoying that outburst of anger, that's not the Holy Spirit. You're mad and you like it, that's not the Holy Spirit. Because your flesh and the spirit are contrary with one another. You know, the emotion of anger, I want to say this clearly, is not always sin. But if we don't control it, it will cause us to sin. It will control us, you see, and then it is sin. So, first, how do you deal with it? Many times it's better to just don't even let yourself get angry. We talked about this Sunday, 1 Corinthians 3:5. Love is not provoked, or in the NIV, it's not easily angered. You know, there's a lot of things that are just not worth being mad about. Just ask yourself, is this worth being mad about? Love is not easily angered. Someone being rude or hateful. Well, don't get angry and act the same way. It's not worth it. Forbear. Be the spiritual person. Be patient and ignore petty disagreements. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover the multitude of sin. See, sometimes somebody's doing wrong, just love them. Don't get mad. Just love them. Walk in love. Refuse to take offense. Second, how do you deal with anger? Don't get angry quickly. Be self-controlled. James 1:19 and 20. So my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Slow to wrath. You know, the Bible tells us several times that the Lord is slow to anger. We should be slow to wrath. Proverbs 16:32, it says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Now, the world says, no, the mighty is better. The one who has the power, they're better. Do you believe the world or the word? The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Do we believe that? Again, it says slow to anger. So here's what I got to say about that. Slow yourself down. So you're mad, slow yourself down. Slow yourself down. Did you know a lot of the time, if you'll just put it on hold, just pray about it, guess what? You feel all better later. At least you'll have time to allow the Holy Spirit to order you, your steps, and show you how you need to respond rather than being angry and sinning. Let me just give you something real practical. I've already kind of touched on this, but I'm going to hit it. Parents, don't discipline your kid when you're angry. That's not why you do it. You do it because you love them. And you want to teach them. You want to discipline them. So you don't do it when you're angry. Slow down. Time is on your side when you're angry. See, somebody said something. Somebody did something. Just slow down. Give it a little bit of time. Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. See, if you don't slow down, you're going to do something stupid. I found when I give it a little time, things just look differently. Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feeling, but a wise man holds them back. Well, I just tell it like it is, and they said this, and so I said this. You know, that's the world's attitude. Not the word of God. Not the way the Holy Spirit would lead us. Now, some people, they'll say, well, you know, when you get mad, count to 10. No, don't count to 10. Pray about it. When you get mad, pray about it. Be angry and sin not. How are you going to do that? Well, pray about it. It's amazing how God can help you do the right thing in that situation instead of sin. Third, to deal with anger, we have to keep ourselves under the control of the Holy Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I've got to tell you, outburst of anger is one of the works of the flesh. Sometimes we just got to, self-control, sometimes we just got to keep our mouth shut. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. We read this, right? So sometimes the smart thing to do when you're mad, don't say anything. I mean, how's it go? If you can't say something good, don't say anything, right? I mean, you just got to make up your mind. You know what? I'm mad right now. I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to be quiet. Bite your tongue. The world says let it all out, but the scripture says you can set the world on fire with your words. Fourth, if we're going to tame our temper, we got to forgive. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ forgave you. Listen. Whether it's injustice or hurt or we feel wronged, we gotta forgive. If we don't, we just stay angry. It'll just keep coming up. It'll just keep coming up and it'll eat at your soul. Fifth, We deal with our anger by trusting the Lord. The Bible says this in Romans 12, 17 and through 19, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And here's the thing, you got to trust the Lord to make things right. Are there things in this world that would make us mad, make us angry? Yes! Turn it over to God. Trust Him. He's the one that is able to avenge us and to take care of it. Don't give place to the devil. Don't allow him to come in and steal. Don't allow him to bring destruction. Don't allow him to keep you from blessings that God has for you. Don't allow him to infect your relationships. I'm telling you, he wants to rob you of your peace, keep you angry, keep you upset about things, but there's a better way. And we can deal with our anger in a way that not only keeps the devil at bay, but it pleases the Lord, brings greater and greater blessings on our life. In this world, you're going to have lots of opportunity to be angry. And with it, every time is an opportunity to sin. Don't. Deal with it the right way. Go to God in prayer. Ask Him for His help. Wait. Put it on hold. Give it some time. Be willing to forgive. Let God take care of it. Trust the Lord with it. Stand with me. I'm going to let you be dismissed.